I'm just taking out my computer because there may be a story that I may want to share that I hadn't planned on sharing. So I don't have it printed out, and that will just be a refresher for me, but don't worry. Don't worry, we're not getting academic. We're just getting old and forgetful. What'd you say? You ain't seen nothing yet? Is that what you said? Sorry, that's what you said. Well, a couple of things that I want to make connections. I believe in divine synchronicity, divine appointments, whatever. There's all kinds of words for it. But I failed to mention last night when I was talking about tasting the kingdom that those of you who were privileged to attend yesterday's prayer preparation, where's Sarah? We're on the same wavelength because her whole prayer preparation yesterday was about food and leaven and flour and taking in. And I don't know about you, but I almost came up to you afterwards and said, you'll like tonight's talk. I just love it when there's those kind of things that come together. So I wanted to acknowledge it. So when you miss, and I speaking to myself here too, when you miss a part of the CFO day, you miss seeing those connections made. So Come. And of course, you're here, so that doesn't help the folks who are not here. Another one that just hit me was when you sang, Mike, he touched me, and nobody fessed up to picking that, which was fine, because they may not even remember they wrote that down. But that's what we're going to talk about today. Today's title is Touching the Kingdom. Touching the Kingdom. I invite you to join me in this kind of dedication of this moment, if you'd like to. Repeat after me. God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my serving. God be at my end and at my departing. Thanks. Thank you. I'd like to begin with an orientation towards a biblical story today. So much I would like to cover. The beauty of getting more and more into the week is you get to know people more and more, and so your stories get shared and connections and my brain gets starting to make. And so we're getting to that part of the week where the things that I had prepared shift into the things that God, you know, is kind of working more and more. We kind of move more and more into real time. And I like to do that, but sometimes it seems like, oh, things aren't always so disjointed, but those are the things that tend to touch people. So I have learned over the years to trust that. I'm going to be sharing with you a story from Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40. It's a Jesus story. And we are people of the story. We're story people. And I love CFO because we're really about story. And so I want to share with you this story. Jesus has just, the story preceding is the healing of the demon-possessed man. And that's important because it says, now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, however you want to pronounce it, a ruler of the synagogue came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Do we have any 12-year-old girls here? Here at camp? Who'd be close enough to 12? Who? No. Yeah, you. You can be 12. All right, well, we'll have to get a little creative then. We don't have any 12-year-old girls. Let's, yeah. Christy. Right. Okay, we'll choose Christy. A girl? A daughter of a father is dying. Christy is dying. I don't know about you, that changes the story. All right, these are real stories, real people, in real time. Jay comes and pleads before Jesus' feet. Sorry, Jay. Oops, my little girl is dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. And she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Perhaps you know someone in your life who has been chronically ill for 12 years, for a long time, something that nobody expects them to get better from. The medical community, there's an expanded story, the medical community has nothing else to offer. Do you know anybody like that? You don't need to name them, but I'd love to see a show of hands. Who knows? Does anybody know anybody? It might be you. So think of that person. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. And Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" We have no idea the cadence, the tone. So that's where biblical story comes in. Who touched me? Who touched me? When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." Did you get it? But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that the power has gone out from me." Got to slow down here. When you pray and there is a connection that is made, there is power that is exchanged. Real power. Remember the lights went out, right? The power went out. We noticed, yeah? The power went out from me. Nothing short of losing power from here to wherever it was. The power went out. And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. Why do you go trembling and falling at someone's feet? What? You're afraid. You thought you did something wrong. You're surreptitious, yeah. She thought, "Oh my gosh, I did something wrong." And why did she think she had done something wrong? She shouldn't be touching nobody. Jewish culture, you've been bleeding for 12 years. You touch nobody. You don't go in crowds. You don't be with people. So she was out there against all the rules, against all the laws. She was hiding in the crowd. Ever hid in a crowd? Hiding in the crowd. Trying not to get noticed, and whatever went on, whatever desperate need or sense of connection, she just touched the edge. Go ahead and touch some of the edge of somebody's shirt. Just touch, just barely touch. Just touch. Would that be enough to heal you of something that you've had for 12 years? I mean, come on. This is crazy stuff. We read this stuff, we've heard this story, boom. No, slow down. Whoa. Right, yeah, and probably bleeding, hemorrhaging woman, probably, you know, adult enough crowd, you know, probably bleeding in a female fashion, possibly, we don't know, internally. Enough so that you can bleed, I mean, how can you bleed for 12 years and, like, not die? Okay, so there's a lot going on there. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. She knows. She knows then. She knows there. That is not always our story, but this was her story, and thank God she had the courage to tell it. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has given you healing. Go in peace." And while Jesus was still speaking there, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and he said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. You're in a crowd. You're trying to get the guy who can save your daughter to your daughter. People all pressing around, distracting him. You have got one focus. My daughter, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. That's valid. My daughter, my daughter, my daughter. It seems like every impediment is in the way to not get Jesus to your daughter. Then there's this woman who you don't know, who now just had this miraculous healing, instantaneous. And she tells her story, and it's a storytelling culture. I mean, it took more than 15 seconds. And then in the midst of all that joy, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead." What would that feel like? All the world's rejoicing, and you were given a death sentence. We know the end of the story. We want to get there. I'm not letting you get there. Slow down. Feel it. Be there. It's horrible. I think this is one of the ways in which we sometimes do a disservice in the world, we as Christians, because we get to the happy story. A lot of the people you need are right here. Stop and pause the tape. That story. And somehow, Jesus heard that exchange. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." Have you ever been with someone who has just heard that a loved one has died? Anybody? I'm asking this a serious question. All right. Do they hear anything you say? No. They don't hear anything you say. But Jesus says it anyway. "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." We don't know what's going on in Daddy's head here, or in his heart, but it's powerful. It's powerful. And we can imagine all the conflicting feelings and emotions that are going on, and allow yourself to feel them. But they keep going. And Jesus arrives at the house of Jairus, and he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father. And we could unpack that, and we don't have time to unpack it, except it's fascinating. I've learned to pay attention to those details. If that detail is there, there's for a reason. You could spend the whole time here looking at why Peter, why James, you know, why John, what's going on there, but we don't have time. Except the child's father and the child's mother, I'm sorry. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. They didn't waste any time. And Jesus rebukes them. "Stop wailing." And I am adding some inflection here. "Stop wailing." I invite you to consider a different alternative, right? We're laughing about that. I invite you to make a different choice. Or I invite you to consider, right? What do you say to kids now? You have to like couch it in all this therapeutic language. "Stop wailing." Right. If he had a sticker, if he had a pin, right, what would Jesus say? No whining, right? Stop. She is not dead. She is asleep. Now we think, oh my gosh, he is staking his reputation on that right now. Gosh, I hope he comes through. And that's why we have to be careful when we make declarative statements on God's behalf. But he is God. He can do that. We should be a little bit more careful. Unless you are really speaking the mind of God and the word, you know, unless you are being a prophetic moment, be careful. But it's Jesus. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him. So these are people who are mailing, they're mourning, they're crying, they're weeping, and now they're laughing. Now, what is that laughter? What would that laughter sound like?
Snort.
Snort? You gotta be kidding. Allison Cliff makes a great snort. That just, I heard that, Allison. Yeah, you couldn't be kidding. What else would it, what is that? What would this laughing?
Sneering.
Okay, nervous. That thing that happened? All right, excellent.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, you're an idiot. Yeah. What's going on? Cackling. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. In other words, they know what they know what they know. And they know she is dead. Now, how do they know that? Did they all walk in front of the body? Did they all poke and prod her? Did they all check her vitals? No, but they know she is dead. And how do we know when somebody's dead? Oh, gosh, I could go to town on this. Don't let me start preaching, Lord. How? We write people off all the time, thinking they are beyond God's help. Oh, foolish people. I mean, somebody's not dead till God says they're dead, you know. They're not beyond hope till God says they're beyond hope. Beware. Beware, beware, beware. Anyway, they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Again, that immediately word, and immediately she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Why? Do you get hungry after being dead? To prove that she was alive. Thank you, Christian. To prove that she was alive. And her parents were, rightly, astonished. And he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Well, you see how well that worked. So much for confidentiality. Do you love that story? Touched by the kingdom. Touched by the kingdom. What is the greatest commandment? Which part first? To love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We were created to touch and to be touched. Touching the kingdom. One of the ways we do that is in touching our neighbor, touching each other. That's one way to participate in the kingdom. Love this little visual. As the story goes, one day, many years ago, a little girl was getting ready for school, and she said to her mother, "I'm going to be sad today." And the mom said, "Why? Aren't you feeling well?" And the little girl said, "No, I'm fine, but when you're sad, all the teachers take turns hugging you." It continues to be that way at CFO and at other places where great church is happening, where we hug. I know it scares the living pants off a lot of people, and we do have to, there is good touch, but we still dare to do it here at CFO. We were created for touch, and we receive ourselves from the hands of others. I'm going to read this quote because I think it's worth reading, and I wish Mike is either shorter than I or we had something else going, because I can't quite see this. Like, can we make this a little? There you are. No, I was just trying to make this a little higher without making the end of the world. I want it, like, here. I'll hold it here, and you do that. Would you do that for me? Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Perfect. Well, because I have to look down, and then I look up, and that makes me dizzy, so it's better if I don't have to do that quite so much. This is a quote by James Stockinger, who's a sociologist. He was at UC Berkeley, and I just love the way it said, and I'm actually going to invite this as a prayer for you. And as I read this, and as it becomes a prayer for you, you don't know these people in your life by name, but God does, and you can pray for them and thank God for them, okay? And it'll be clear in a moment. Dana, woohoo! Anybody else want one? Because I may use it. Oh, that did get turned off. Okay, nobody's going to get it. All right, let's close our eyes and enjoy this just enjoy it as a prayer. Allow people and names and folks to touch them with your prayer. Each of us lives in and through an immense movement of the hands of other people. The hands of other people lift us from the womb. The hands of other people grow the food we eat. Weave the clothes we wear. Build the shelters we inhabit. The hands of other people give pleasure to our bodies in moments of passion. And the hands of other people aid and comfort us in times of affliction and distress. It is in and through the hands of other people that the commonwealth of nature is appropriated and accommodated to the needs and pleasures of our separate individual lives. And at the end, it is the hands of other people that lower us into the earth. Amen. Touching the kingdom. Are you aware of the touch of others? Are you aware of giving others touch in a way that manifests or gives glimpses into the kingdom? I would say it was about 10 years ago that we had a woman come to Sugarloaf so her children could attend the ski academy. I will call her Nancy. And Nancy had a brain tumor. And she was a mother, had high school kids, and she left her, hometown so she could come up and be in the valley so her kids could be day students at the academy. It happens quite often. Father's traveling, making the money, mom comes and the kids can be day students. But she was really ill and she had left her community of support to come so the kids could have this opportunity. It was a gift she wanted to give them. But she was very, very ill. But when she left her community, her friends who had been supporting her made a quilt for her. Are there any quilt makers in here? You just never know. Oh, yay! I have another quilt story. We'll see if we get it. Quilt make, and they made a quilt, and it had all these hands applique on the top, and they had put their names in all the hands, and they had sent it with love so that she would feel their touch. It was beautiful. Nancy found that in the midst of her pain, that healing touch was really important to her, and so she had a massage table that she would lay on, and just by word of mouth, people would kind of be invited to join this healing circle in the valley. And I didn't really know her. My kids were younger at the time, but I was invited to join this healing circle. And so a couple of times a week, different people would come to Nancy's house, and she would lay on the massage table, and we would lay this quilt over her and then place our hands on the hands of her friends, and we would stand in silence. I like to imagine Nancy would have loved CFO. And sometimes she would direct us to, you know, put our hands in different places, or she would say, you know, gee, Angie, I would like to have your hands at my head. I mean, I think she was so in tune with what was happening in her body that she could feel different people's energies. It was pretty amazing. I felt so privileged to be invited into this circle. And I knew that I was not running this circle. This was not my gig. So I kept my mouth shut and my ears open and, you know, as pastors are wont to do, you know, I did not run the show. And it was amazing. And these women were not religious women. I would imagine they might have all described themselves as spiritual. We didn't use that lingo quite so much in that time, but they cared, and this was one way to show it. So one day, as Nancy was getting sicker and sicker, and you had to be really careful not to touch her too heavy, you know, because I mean, she was really just really sensitive all over her body. We had had a healing circle, and afterwards, she had gotten up off the table. We were all drinking, you know, water, lemonade, or whatever in her kitchen, and she had a seizure. And she fell to the floor, and she was seizing. And none of us, not being her longtime friends, I never knew, like, did they see this before? Was this, I had no idea. But I remember that one of us, and I think it was me, but don't quote me on it, but in my mind's eye, this is what I see. You know, I was cradling her head. You know, someone was just trying to keep her away from the walls. Someone was calling 911. Someone was trying to get a hold of her husband. And this entire kind of group of women who don't know each other all that well and don't know Nancy all that well are just kind of caring for her until the ambulance came. So we were still healing hands. I mean, I kind of wonder, you know, if we hadn't been there for the healing circle, would she have had a seizure all by herself? And nobody would have known, and she would have, I mean, who knows? Or was there something that happened in our healing circle, some energy? I have no idea, and there's no way to know. But I do know that because we were there, she was not alone. And because she was there, her family knew she was not alone. And we were able to get her ready to go in the ambulance, which was very difficult because, as mountain houses often are, they couldn't get a stretcher in. They had to put her in a chair in order to get to the chair to get down the stair. It was really awful. It was really awful. She never came home. She never came home. And that was the last time, really, that most of us saw her. She went back to her hospital, you know, down by where she lived. But I thank God that we were there, that we were present, that I was privileged to be a part of the touch of the kingdom in some small way, for I believe God was present. I believe God was present there. I really do. It means it's 10 o'clock. means it's 10 o'clock. So I have a couple more minutes. Is that what I heard? All right. That's a really heavy story. Should we go light or heavy? Light? Okay. We can go light. I have two children, as you know, Ben and Sam. My oldest one is Ben. You go in to touch him at night, rub his back, as mothers like to do. He would tolerate it for like 30 seconds, and then he would kindly say, "That's enough, Mom." I have another child, Sam, who still at 19 would be happy to sit in my lap if he wouldn't crush me. He's the one that comes in and he lounges on you, and I rub his back and I rub his head, and he just can't get enough. There are all kinds of people in the kingdom. What's interesting is I think we're moving into a touch, or at least are going through a touch-averse culture. And people are studying, the more high-tech our culture becomes, the less high-touch it becomes. And we think of ways to avoid touch. There was a movie a few years ago with Bruce Willis. I wish I could remember. It wasn't called, was it called Surrogate? Where there were, like, everybody stayed at home and they sent out their, like, surrogate robots. Was that called Surrogate? It was amazing. It's stuff we're watching. Like, people didn't even go out anymore because they didn't want to touch each other. And so they would send, like, robots of themselves out into the world. Amazing. I still think about it. Sensory deprivation is considered torture. Just saying. We know infants die without touch, even if they're given enough food. Are you getting enough touch of the kingdom? Are you giving enough touch of the kingdom? For a while, touch was really going out. And people were getting really concerned because of the lack of safe touch in places, you know, and you couldn't touch people and you couldn't hug people. And in ministry, we're taught, you know, like there's the side hug and there's the this hug. And there's, I mean, did anybody else do all that stuff? Oh my gosh, what was it? There was the, like, the kind of side along, come along side hug, and then there was the what? The A-frame hug, thank you, the A-frame hug. There was the, you know, and then you could say, may I hug you? Which, you know, that's not a bad thing. But we were getting so bad. There are ethics around safe touch, I'm not going to get into all that, but for the church, the question is not, do I touch? The question is, do I know when to touch and where not to touch? Okay. The question is not, do I touch? We die without some kind of touch. It's our calling to learn and to practice healthy, healing touch within the church. Because that's what Jesus did. That story. Sometimes people touched him, the hemorrhaging woman, sometimes he touched others. Jairus' daughter. I can think of only one time that Jesus said, don't touch me. When was it? Right. And it's funny how we remember that. And I think we remember that because it was so startling in its difference. It's the only time where Jesus, that we have recorded, that Jesus said, don't touch me. Which tells you he was pretty high-touch ministry. Because the natural inclination, even with all the cultural norms of that day, don't touch me. All right. I'm going to finish with this. There's some other things I may come back to. I figured touch was something, as opposed to like taste, there was some that is a little bit more familiar to you. But I love this part, and so I'm going to invite you, if you are able to, and if you would like to rise and join me in this blessing. I invite you to rise. It's up to you whether you do. And I'm going to start with a short song. If you know it, you certainly may feel free to sing it. It's adapted from an ancient song from the 5th century. And if you'd like to, I saw some people, if you'd like to hold hands and touch while we do this part, you certainly may. Enjoy that touch. Enjoy that safe touch. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. And now, if you would repeat after me, St. Patrick's breastplate. Christ with me, and if you would hug yourself, Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right, and look in their eyes. Oh, it's a joke! Christ on my left. Christ when I lay down. Christ when I sit up. Christ when I stand up. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the eye of everyone that sees me. Christ in the ear of everyone who hears me. And then let's finish this again. Now you've heard it. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. Today we are touching the kingdom of God. Rejoice and be glad. Amen. And you have a great opportunity to touch and be touched at rhythms.